We are going to declare the glory of the Lord. It's one of the ordinances of Christianity, constant profession of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Today we take from Psalm 146. Again, as usual, we try to read from the same version of the scriptures, all right? And the one we use is New American Standard, so if you don't have, just look into your neighbor zone. The simple reason is that so our voices will sound. Have you ever been to join this read the scripture? Everybody sound like they came to disagree. All right, one, two, let's go.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not trust in princes, in mortal man in whom there is no salvation. His spirit departs, he returns to the earth. That very day his thoughts perish. How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widow, but he thwarts the ways of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. All right, as we go into the study of the word this morning, from the Lord we receive insight. Say amen to that. We receive understanding. We receive direction. We receive healing. We receive the ability to do right.
Amen.
We receive correction.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Therefore, we declare,
now I declare that the Lord
has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. And I'm pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. Word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good.
All
right, let's take our seats. The Lord is good.
All the time.
Uh-huh. I have to say like you believe it. All right, let's settle down quickly. Please, again, let me just remind us to make sure our devices have been silenced. And we recognize that your Bible, your notes, may be smart. So you're using your smart devices. So please, just silence them, all right? And I put on flight mode so that we can teach the word this morning without interruption. All right, the Lord is good. Now, as we minister the word of God today, the power of God is available. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
It will enter every heart that is open,
amen.
Every heart that is stayed upon the word,
amen.
That is full of attention.
Amen.
Today, you will receive the assurance of salvation in the name of
amen.
Jesus. You will receive cleansing of your spirit as the word is coming forth.
Amen.
You will receive knowledge and the ability to do all that God requires.
Amen.
You will receive faith by the Spirit. No faith.
Yeah,
faith by the Spirit. Beyond what you thought you could believe for. And you receive healing for every part of your body.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Okay, so let's open our Bibles to, again, I don't know which portion we're starting with. Let me just pick one. Okay, John chapter 4. And we read this, I think the other Saturday, this was what I wanted to teach, but then the Holy Spirit now took me in another direction. So let me go back there and see whether we will succeed in that today. John chapter 4. I read from verse 19. Now, you know the story again. Let's remind ourselves. The woman that Jesus met by the well, the one that she said to you, I've had 5 husbands. But the one you have right now is not even your husband. That's after she said, I have no husband. They were talking about the well of eternal life. From verse 19, the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." Now I have a question. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. That's where the temple was. And then Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this temple nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father." Now just talk about that hour again, verse 23. He said, "But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshippers." That is, the Father is seeking a particular kind of presence. Why is it like that? It says, because God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That is, and truth. Now I'm going to stop reading in verse 24. God is spirit. That is, God is not flesh. God is not physical. God is invisible. And the real worship is an invisible worship. It's not the physical worship. That's what he was saying there. When he said God is spirit, it's like the opposite of God is flesh. God can be seen. That's what it means when he said God is spirit. Now, please bear this in mind. Again, let's read another portion of the scriptures, the book of Isaiah chapter 56. These are the two I'm going to read to start, and then I'll begin to explain the things I believe the Holy Spirit wants me to say today. Thus says the Lord, "Preserve justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness about to be revealed. How blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who takes hold of it, who keeps from profaning the Sabbath, and keeps his hand from doing any evil." The Lord said in verse 3, "Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, 'The Lord will surely separate me from his people.' Nor let the eunuch say, 'Behold, I am a dry tree.' For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose," now please notice this, "and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, to them I will give in my house and within my walls a memorial and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name which will not be cut off. Also the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even those I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all the peoples." I'll stop reading in verse 7 here. Now, the other time, like I said, I had intended to talk about this, so I read some of these portions to start, but then the Holy Spirit took me in another direction, and I didn't get there. So now we are back there today. Now, remember, I tried to explain, and I've explained again and again. I can't explain this enough. Let's learn something about God again. Please, if you've not heard this before, hear it clearly. God never asks for anything for his own good. Never. He doesn't have the ability to ask. Do you get my point? If he says, "Depart from iniquity," it's not if you do iniquity, it will break my heart. His heart cannot be broken. Do you follow my point? If you ever read anything like that, it's just what they call anthropopathism. That is, they are just using human feelings and reaction to describe God so that you can relate with him. God never, ever, ever, ever asks for anything for his own good. So don't ever think you can deny God something to pain him. You know, I've heard people say things like, "I'm not talking to God, I'm very angry with him." Now, that's a childish way of, see, I know those days people made it look like it's a sign of close fellowship. "I know God so much, it's like a father, so I can be angry with him." Better be angry with yourself. Do you follow my point? Because for you to be angry with him means he disappointed you. Baseline, is that not so? There was something he was supposed to do. He did not do it. So you are angry. That's the only thing that gives you the idea you could be angry with God. You want to know the truth? That is pure ignorance. Unless, you know, I try not to use bad words, all right? But this is the best word I can use to describe it, is stupidity. Is that a bad word, Mama Gio? Stupidity is not, eh? No, I'm asking the word. No, it's not immaturity. I said stupidity. Is it a bad word? That's my question. It's not. Okay, your husband says it's not so. And since the head of the house is correct, I should learn in silence, all right? You want to say it is when your husband says it's not. Yeah, it's very irrational. Immaturity is part of it, certainly, okay? But it's something I like to pinpoint things, all right, out to people. You should be embarrassed to say it outside. Do you get my point? You should be embarrassed to say, I'm angry with you. Do you understand? You don't understand him. If you understood him, the concept of being angry with him should not be able to cross your mind. Let me tell you the kind of person that he is. Like I was saying, I went to do this and explain that he never asked anything for himself. This is the kind of person he is. He always does the best for you every time. Every time something is within his powers, in quotes, I said it's never out of his power, but let's say within his powers to do, what you experienced was the best. It was supposed to be worse. He said, were it not for the Lord's mercies, we would have been consumed. Now, the people talking had suffered, though. You don't get my point. When Jeremiah was saying this, they had suffered. Please, let me be dramatic about this a bit. How many people ever, in fact, Wenger and I were talking the other day. He said he was just studying, watching documentaries on the Second World War. So he started talking about Adolf Hitler and the Jews. So let's go back there. Do you know, let's talk about the Jews alone. Adolf Hitler killed 6 million of them. Well, almost 6 million. You add some other people to it, all right? At least over 5 million Jews he alone killed. And it was systematic. Let me tell you what he did. He didn't just kill them. He stripped even their bodies. If you had gold in your teeth, he removed them. Removed the hair of the women. He used human beings for experiment. They'll send you somewhere to go and walk. The scientist there is injecting things into you to find out how a human being reacts to this new injection. It was terrible. Think about that. Now, I won't say much more than that. Some of you are beginning to cringe. Let me not say much more than that. They just put people into a hall, lock the doors, open poisonous gas in the whole place, and get other Jews to evacuate the bodies. It was terrible. Then at the end of the day, one guy, Jeremiah, comes out and says, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. Okay, let me explain. The Jewish nation, with all of that, now, I'm not one of those who preach some Jewish-centric doctrine. You know me. My doctrines are Christ-centric. All right? It's not about Jews. All right? They are good people. Arabs are good people. Nigerians are very good people. Do you get my point? People in Enugu are very, very good people. All right? All of us need Christ Jesus. Whether from you are from Udi or Kunanu or, you know, Usuka or from Israel, you need Jesus. Do you get my point? That's my attitude. All right? So, please get me clear, all right? In fact, people in Udejuku's village, they all need Jesus Christ. On that side. But they all need Christ Jesus. They do. Everybody needs Jesus, all right? So that's my own doctrine. Is that okay? But let's go back to it. Do you know, despite everything Adolf Hitler did, there are millions and millions and millions and millions. I don't think they can be less than, give me a fair estimate who can, people who claim to be Israelites, Jews today. Are they like to be less than 100 million? I don't know. Because a lot of them are in America. Most of them are not in the nation of Israel. They are still all parts of the world. Huge number in the United States. So you know what Jeremiah was saying? That we still exist here today is the mercy of God. That's what he was saying. That if you go to the Hittites, they don't exist anymore. If you go to the Amalekites, they don't exist anymore. The Hivites, not one human being exists on this earth that says he's a Hivite. Point to me one person who says an Amorite. There is none. David said the very memory of them has perished. So when Jeremiah said, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, he wasn't joking. See, why did they suffer like that?
when you get to heaven and God tells you, you will have consumed them. You that are feeling righteous. I've seen people who talk as if they don't believe in God because you say, how can God stand there and babies will be dying? God said, you kill the babies. You don't understand. When I show you how you are responsible for the death of the babies, you will crawl into the mud. Now you see the executioner. You see Adolf Hitler. But let us go back to where it all began. You will see your hands there. God said that Adolf Hitler did not wipe all of you out. It's because I said you can't. Why did I not say he can't kill anybody at all? See, it was a discussion, was a negotiation. I told you if you will obey me, nothing bad like this will happen to you. But if you disobey me, things worse than this will happen. Did you not discuss it? Say, we did. Did you not sign it? We did. When did I do that? When they took your name? When you went to the synagogue, when you circumcised your children, we had this agreement. If you had truly obeyed me, you would have gotten to know the Son. And this would never have happened. It is not my fault. Like the Bible says, like the shepherd, you understand, who saves from the mouth of the lion just a few limbs after the lion had torn everything. So that's how I asked some of you to be saved. You are here making mouths now, opening and arguing with me and quarreling. You should have been there saying thank you. That we still have a nation that bear this name. Those who did not as much as you did, I've wiped them out. Did Jesus not say, if the miracles that have been done in Chorazin and Capernaum had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they will have existed till this day. That you are more deserving of wipe out. So Jeremiah was right when he said, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. Over us, his compassion does not fail. They are new every morning. He said, great is his faithfulness. How can you be angry with such a person? It's because of pride and arrogance. You think you don't deserve anything bad. You think you don't deserve the evil. You think you've done better than you really have done. Don't ever forget the story of Job. Job is in the scriptures to let us know we deserve nothing. I don't have time to start talking about Job now. All right? You know, Job did everything. And God said, Job. And it became, now listen to me. The Bible, you have to be careful to interpret it. All right? I know what I'm saying. It is fact. It is true. It's scripture. Don't argue with me if you don't know it. Do you get my point? Just calm down. I'm going to read it. The fact that God said that Job was the best of all the, who? All the, who? People. You said people? Righteous men. Uh-huh. Now, basically, you use the word people, men, and hearing men. God said, Job, that was the problem. Men were your standard. So when you looked at men, you were better than all of them. And go and read Job 29. Job felt good with himself. I don't have time now. He described all his good works. So he felt he prospered because of the good works. But God saw his heart. This is a good man. But we can't let him die in self-righteousness. Now, everybody, listen, everybody is allotted a portion in the redemption of mankind. Yes. What do I mean? Especially in the perfecting of the saints. He said, give us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, in summary, for the what? Perfecting of the saints. So everybody is involved. So God said, Job, let me use you to describe something for the saints. Like one of man of God preached to us years ago. Let me put it, preached to me years ago. He said, Job was placed in the Bible to cure the backsliding of the saints forever. So God said, Job, you are good for this. Now listen to this. Let's treat him like he truly deserves. Let's remove mercy from him for a moment. Not fully, he will survive. Without the mercy, he shouldn't survive. He said, but he did well by the standards of man. By the standards of God, truly. Everything Job saw, he deserved more. That's worse. God never afflicts anybody without righteousness behind it. He doesn't. He doesn't have the capacity to do it. He's too righteous. He's too holy for that. He said, Job is feeling good. That is why I have learned something. And I've been teaching you for a long time. You know, just that you know some people, stubbornness is still their portion. May the Lord have mercy on them. We've been teaching you for a long time. You can never go to prayer feeling good with yourself. Oh, that is in yourself. You gave something big. No disrespect, mate, but let's just balance these things. Somebody showed me a video of one man said, look, you have to prove God. Oh, I gave God so much money that if they wrote the Bible now, my name would be inside there. I said, because of money. If you read that same Bible well, the person that gave the highest was a widow. Gave two mites. But Jesus doesn't measure you. You brought $100 billion US dollars. Doesn't matter. Jesus said, look at that widow. He gave more than you. She gave more than you. What did she give? Two mites. So God said, I don't calculate naira and kobo. Let's get that one clear first. Please, I begged you in the name of Jesus. I implore and adjure you by the mercies of God. Never go to the place of prayer and be telling him what you have done. It will kill you. You know, I've been saying it, but you know, human beings, they won't hear. They are still sowing seeds for breakthrough. Are you an idiot? You have been experiencing breakdown. When will you stop and listen to me? Please, I don't care who preached it to you. It's scripture I'm giving you. You know why you can't go to God and say, see what I have done? Because he's a just God. You know, he's just. He's a good God. He's fair. So once you start, he opens the door. Satan must sit down there and argue. You know, I watch movies, all right? But I'm selective in the kind of movies I watch. If you're there dancing and singing, I walk away. If you're there shooting people for nothing, I walk away. You have to show me a reason why you're shooting somebody. You can't just be because you're a tough guy. Just go there. I easily get tired. There was one where my wife was watching your dad. I was even angry with her. That you are still watching this thing 5 minutes after it's been established that this is a stupid movie. He said, I want to see what happened at the end. I said, then jump to the end. I mean, in fact, I just turned my head away like, oh, I beg, don't disturb me with it. People will just go, those movies, they'll just be acting one silly scene just so that the time we finish. They can tell us, God be the glory. Watch out for part two. Nonsense. Anyway, when I watch movies, all right, some of the movies I watch, all right, those days, my in Nigeria of those days, I mean, didn't work, I'm not talking to you, all right? Benga, I'm not talking to you. I mean, if I'm not talking to you, work, it's you I'll be talking to. Anybody watched their sizes? They don't even talk. You didn't see their sizes. You had not as if you reached my level. I'm talking to people like you. The way I'm looking at, okay, Munte, it doesn't qualify. Elder John, did you watch Assizes? Assizes, or produced in Benin. Okay, NTA program. That was from, as a little boy. Yeah, my wife said she did. Okay. Yeah, it was produced in Benin, all right? So she should have watched it. She grew up in Benin, all right? It was court drama. As a little boy, I didn't used to miss court dramas. I didn't used to miss it. Since then, all right? Till now, I love any movie that's centered around court. I like to watch. Especially when it's done by serious people. Like the one in Benin that time, Assizes, was done by serious people. All right, you know, NTA used to produce fantastic programs. Oh, no, NTA. Yeah. If you go back to the things they did, all these, Cockroach Dawn, thank you. Yeah. If you watch Cockroach Dawn, with that line by Bongo Sikwe, remember? Uh-huh. Who are you fighting? She saw it now, but she's not that small. Hey, Joma, you said take her easy, Job. Ah, but. But nobody said Cockroach Dawn was done. You don't remember it? Okay, Mama Gio, you are suspicious because you didn't watch it. You watched Cockroach Dawn? Because. Okay, so the two of you did not watch Cockroach Dawn. Two of you went away. Now, NTA used to produce, no, honestly, you know, they were real professional because they were not doing it just for, first, it was before the days when people just go to work and come back for no, anyhow. And they were not doing it to make quick money. They used to do, in fact, some of the best producers in Nigeria today were trained by NTA. NTA had fantastic people, those, you know, producing things, all right? Anyway, so Assizes was one of them. I loved Assizes. Till now, I watch court dramas. I really enjoy them. Because, like I was saying, when it's produced by serious people, not people who do one whole movie in 1 week, and then it's 3 hours long, and to God be the glory at the end. I mean, God has taken all kinds of glory, but just manage it. All right?
But you see real things, real dramas, all right? You notice one of the things I saw in some of those movies is the judge. I remember one particular one I saw. The judge was talking to one of the lawyers in a case. When the other one came in, he took exception to that. No, you can't talk to him behind my back. Yeah, well, it's because if he's on this case, you're not allowed. I can appeal this matter that you had a discussion with the other lawyer, and I wasn't there. I've learned from, I didn't go to law school, but I learned a lot from seeing all those movies. That's where I'm going. Even reading novels. John Grisham, I love because of that. All right? You see the way things are done. Once you hear this person's side, you must hear the other side. We just took a small digression, you know, in a lifetime mode, but to explain a point. If you come to God and you're arguing good works, automatically the accuser's door opens. His door opens and he walks in. And God has to turn and say, so what do you have to say? And then Satan will pull up your bad works. And you should know people who know book more than you. One of them, his name is Satan. He's been reading book for generations. He has familiar spirits that monitor you. Yeah, they are following you about. They don't even need to. They see far and wide. Their eyes are like eagle's eyes. They just look like this. Where is the man going there? What you did not say, they heard it. Because once it's in your heart, for those who know spiritual things, it sounds. I quote Neville Johnson in this case. Neville Johnson said, people have asked him, can demons read your mind? He said, they don't have to. So what you are thinking is showing on your body. Rick Joyner said, when he had a vision, he would think something, and they would give him an answer. I said, did you hear that? He said, yes. He said, but I didn't say anything. He said, no, your thoughts are loud. That is why the word logos in the scriptures, it means both word and thought. Yes. When I say the word of God, it's also the thoughts of God. There's no difference. There's absolutely no difference. Where I'm going is that, so if you have wrong motives, even Satan knows. As you're thinking it, you can hear it. I don't mean like inaccurate, lack of development. One reason is that you're thinking a thought that is wrong. Like now, let me give this money so I can get. Satan will come and say, there's no love in his heart. He's giving this money so he can get. After all, he has learned some things. So once you come with those kind of arguments, Satan is so strong in that area. And listen to me, God must, that's why I told the story of what I learned from dramas. God must hear. If he doesn't listen to Satan, he's unjust. So you see, people, you know, if you don't understand that, you'll be wondering why will God sit down and Satan will come in the midst of the sons of God. Why? They came for judgment. They didn't come for fellowship. They didn't come to discuss worship. If it was worship, Satan wouldn't have come. If it was fellowship, communion, he wouldn't have come in the midst of them. But when the Lord sets his throne for judgment, everybody is required to show and is allowed to show. For those who do not know, let's make it clear again. That is where all these your small witches and DBS get their power from. They don't have any power outside God. They have to go for judgment. It's the reason why we don't ever enter into judgment. We don't. We are careful. We always go for what? Mercy. We always go for mercy. So those who are there, who are arguing for judgment, they are putting themselves in jeopardy. I give God this amount of money. And God says, you don't understand. Do you know how I tested your heart? Did you not read in the scriptures that I, the Lord, I test the heart? You didn't read in the scriptures that I test before I reward you. And Jesus told us two men went up to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. One outlined all his good works. And the other one said what? Have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus said that one went home justified. You know what it means to be justified? To be heard by God, to be able to relate with God, to be able to hear from God, to be able to have your sins covered, to be able to be blessed. That's what it means to be justified, declared righteous. God needed to cure all of us of it. Please bear it in mind. Do good works. Don't even let it cross your mind when you are coming to God in prayer. Don't even let it cross your mind. Let God decide if he wants to look at it and use it. But you constantly plead for mercy. And that's what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. The name of God's mercy is what?
Jesus.
That's the name of God's mercy embodied. The word became flesh. Mercy became flesh and became Jesus Christ. Please, let's get that clear. I just need to emphasize that concerning the matter of Job and why God had to solve it. You go and read Job 29. A bundle of good works is the reason. That was what God was curing Job of. Not the good works, but confidence in them. Confidence in them. That's what he was curing Job of. I began all of the time to emphasize that God never says anything for his own good. He never does anything for his own good. And whatever he does, you have no right to be angry with him. You deserve worse than you got. So please, that needed to be emphasized. All right? Like I said, and now I got into all of that. I started by saying, trying to emphasize to us again, God never asks for anything for his own good. And you can't threaten him. You know, I've been saying it again and again. Because I've actually seen and heard of people who threaten God. Yes. If you won't do this for me, I will sin. Yeah. People, I know, they're running through my head now. And the sins they committed. Why? They're angry with God. People say that, after what happened, they're not serving God again. Because they're, oh God, heaven is going to close down shop. Because one person is not serving me again. Of course, he didn't say that. People have done it again and again. But I need to emphasize. Jeremiah said, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. Because his compassion does not fail. He said they are new every morning. And great is his faithfulness. If you ever went through a bad patch in life, thank God it wasn't worse. It was supposed to be worse. Let's not discuss what you deserve or do not deserve. Just know that in righteousness, it was supposed to be worse. In righteousness, it was supposed to be worse. When Reverend Yinka was leading, I think it was Jonathan that was leading prayer earlier. That's the co-worker's prayer. He said that somebody said you can never get it wrong with Thanksgiving. Oh, are you the one that said it? Okay, it's the main prayer here. That he said, let us start with Thanksgiving, that you can never get it wrong with Thanksgiving. You don't know what to pray for, you can't ever get it wrong giving thanks. And giving thanks is not bribery. The Lord deserves it. They even have a mind, not even mouth now, a mind with which to say thank you. That alone is deserving of thanksgiving. Those who wrote that even if I had 1,000 tongues, it wouldn't be enough. They're not lying. They're not lying. 1,000 tongues, it wouldn't be enough. Please, let me just go by. Please, I can't leave it yet. So you give an offering. I know some of you are like, Pastor, we have heard. No, some people have not heard. Being okay, some people have not heard. You give an offering. So, God must now stop. I hear something that after I gave that offering, God said, you will not be broke again. I said, thank you, poor God. And I'm like, excuse me? It's an offering you gave. And then some people, that's one that makes me laugh. Some people now want to follow that example. And they will say that, look, let's now do as those people did. Why? Because you're a thief. You are looking for the money they also got. Is that not what they're looking for? People like you that do sports betting. Spiritual betting. You bet in bet hall. You come to church, you want to bet again with the offering. See, let me just tell you. You know it's not working. But you're so stubborn, you won't hear the truth. Well, let me not sit down. I think I've corrected somebody enough. I've not finished. That's why some people are disappointed. They're angry. It's as if they lent me money and I refused to pay. You know, that's the attitude. You don't know, I paid you for a job. You did not perform. That is what is going through their mind now. They're angry with God. You know, the story I tell all the time of the young woman. She stood in front of me like this. It was our former venue. Just in front of me. And I was looking at her. And I remember the story that Jesus said, concerning Jesus, about the rich young ruler. He said Jesus loved him. That's exactly how I felt for that young lady that day. Pity. The girl said she almost died during NYC. Young lady, just finished NYC not too long before that. Why? So she gave up all her money as offering. As they are paying the monthly NYC allowance, she's carrying it to church. It's not, we're not talking tithes now, offering. The whole thing. So she didn't have money to eat, no money for transportation, nothing. Then one day somebody sent her money. It was her birthday. And she told herself, praise God, this one I'll manage it small, small. Then she went to church. The pastor said, except it pains you. So the one you have done has not pained you enough. You know, I don't understand for people. So it has not yet pained you. This little balm in Gilead that God sent to just rub on her pain. They said, no, don't take it. The guy carried the thing again, put her for offering basket. You see where I'm going. And she was telling me that I was looking at her like this. I was just feeling sorry for her. Like, I said, but why? I had to ask, but why? She said, they said that's how we will prosper. I said, that is the problem. I said, anyway, your seed worked. She said, what? I said, yeah, God took your seed and it's germinating. She said, how? I said, he sent you to me to deliver you from this foolishness. I said, God has had mercy on you. That's why you are here today. I said, that's not how they prosper. How do you prosper? You go and kneel down and say, Lord, oh, that you will bless me indeed. That's how to prosper. God will not tell you, get up. Go and walk in righteousness and do what is right. And just do what is right and labor. I will bless the work of your hands. I don't need to give. See, giving is like breathing. If you're dead, you won't breathe. If you don't have faith, you won't give. But if you are alive in the spirit, giving is part of your life. So you should make giving a part of your life as a sign that you are alive in the spirit, not as a way to prosper.
Anyway, you will learn the truth one way or another. Please, let's sit on the matter of God. Again, I'm reminding us, so when God says for you to do anything, never forget, it will bless you. It's not him. That's why you can't threaten him. So if you refuse to do it because you want it to pain him, you are hurting yourself. That's a matter of fact. Now, where I was going to all of this, please, let me go by the, again, that last time I recommended that, that's when we took that, I tried to teach this last time. I recommended that series. As it, True Worship. And that's the name of the series, True Worship. All right? Please go and listen to the whole series. Because what I want to say will probably be scattered here and there through it, but I want to put some things together today. Why did God command us to worship? It is because he wants us to be like him. The word sons, why does he use for us Christians, is that we are supposed to grow up to be like what? The Father. You understand? That is what sonship is. The potential to be like the Father. That we are growing up to be like the Father. That is what sonship is. That we are growing up to be like the Father. So everything God, see, all interactions with God is so that we may be changed. Do you get my point? And let me say this quickly. Please, let's put challenges in life in proper perspective. You know, small digression, all right? Remember where I was. I was talking about worship is so that we can be changed. All interactions with God. Now I want to take a small digression. It was when I was in Sokoto, I was ministering. No, I wasn't ministering. Somebody was ministering. And it's good to sit down where somebody is ministering. The spirit comes into you, all right? In fact, because I was in Sokoto for quite a number of days and went to church each day for 8 hours, all right? Yeah, 8 hours. I've noticed something about Nigeria. The higher you go to the north, the longer they stay in church. The closer you go to the Mami Water Ocean, the more impatient we are with God. Yeah, it's true. We are richer, but more impatient. I'm being honest with you. When I was in Sokoto, we were doing 8 hours every day in church. Every day. Every day. I was there they were there for 10 days. I was there for about half of the days. It's 8 hours each day. In the morning, we'll go 8 to 12, 12, 15. In the evening, we'll go 5 to 9. Every day.
And that's not the greatest they've done. The other one is 30 days like that. The other minister there. That's just their life. You know, when we went to Jos that time, where was I recently? People were speaking. Yeah, it was at Pastor Levi's program. Somebody was saying something about, you know, his program was quite long. From morning, finished around 3, right? And I was trying to explain something, and people, I just laughed. When my wife and I went to Jos, or Pastor Chito's program, their camp meeting, it's 8 to 3. That's how they, no, 8 to 5, sorry. It's 8 in the morning to 5 p.m. And when they finish, you're looking at your time. I've told you, the closer you close to come to the Atlantic Ocean, I don't know. Maybe it's a mammy water issue, I don't know. Non-stop, no tea break. Just enter the service. It's from worship to prayer to hearing the word to worship back to hearing the word. You get like 4 ministers, each person, you know, giving you solid word. What are you talking about? Oh, this is what I will do, like 45-minute service. You come to church, you say we have 10 services. Each service is 45 minutes. I don't get it. I'll be bragging about it. This church has grown. It hasn't grown. It's suffering malnutrition, so it's swelling. I'm like, let me get back to the, maybe I'm trying to preach. Let me not get carried away. Anyway, so when we're there, one of those days, because I was there for so long, in fact, I took so many notes, some of them not even there from the meeting. As I'm inspiration, I just kept on taking notes, my personal life, my ministry life, things that had been said, you know, took a lot of notes. Then one of these, then they struck me. As somebody was ministering, I said, wait. You know, there's this talk we have all the time. Do they pray in Japan? They don't pray in Europe. They are developed. Then just crystallized my head again. You know what? We'll engage that discussion. That we get involved in that discussion. We are not at all focused on what exactly God is doing. Because they think I came to build roads. Because they think I came here to give you constant power, band A, or whatever it is. That go and check it. The Lord's portion is his people. The Lord's portion is his people. The primary thing God is doing is building people. But we forget. We start building roads. Now, I'm not saying that a good road is a bad thing. I'm just saying that, you see, when these people tell you things like, and they don't pray there, look at the economy, then don't get involved in the discussion. That is not where God is headed. And listen to this. Now, this way, don't people won't like it. Okay? God says, listen, whatever it will take me to bring out my best in you, you have to pass through it. So listen to what I want to say. In the midst of calamity, don't focus on the calamity. In the midst of adversity, don't focus on the adversity. In the midst of lack, don't focus on the lack. Step back from the trouble and say, Lord, let me take this trouble as a bell that's ringing because we need to talk. Lord, I've come to see you. I'm not discussing my problems yet. Can I see you? I heard you call. You know, think about it. You know, junior pastor, and that's the name they gave him, Akin. Who gave him junior pastor? Is it you? Okay, a senior apostle that gave him name, junior pastor. Junior pastor has one ringtone on his phone. Is it Beethoven or Handel? Beethoven, all right? Now, somebody took Beethoven and funkified, you know, to funkify a classic. Do you know anytime he's playing, I tell him, don't answer it. He's like, Daddy, why won't I answer my call? This song is so sweet. I dare not put it on my phone because I would never answer a call. Once it's a ringtone. Once it starts ringing, I think I can leave it now, leave it now. I'm looking at Daddy, I have a call. I say, wait. I think I'm like, I have to answer my call. I say, no now. I don't want to disobey this senior pastor. But that's okay, answer your call. This ringtone is beautiful. Now, where am I going? Would it not be foolish? For any time he gets a ringtone, he gets a ring, and the phone starts ringing the ringtone, he will stay there and be dancing. And be waltzing. Dun, 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 dun. Wouldn't he be crazy? Is his father not crazy? Do you get where I'm going? I mean, you don't stay there admiring the ringtone. As soon as you hear that beautiful sound, you tap the screen or swipe whichever phone you are using to take the call. You don't focus on the ringtone.
Whether it's good or bad, it's not your focus. It's what? I have a call. Where am I going to? You know what we do this life? When we have problems, we focus on it. Whatever it is, we focus on it. And I'm telling you this morning, please don't. Anytime there's a problem, first wait. Take it as what? A ringtone. It's a call that has come through. Pick the call and talk to the caller. There's only one caller in your life. God your Father. Manifesting maybe in the Holy Spirit, whatever. But that's the only caller in your life. It's not the devil, it's not the ancestral spirit. I like one thing, one big man of God, I mean, it's not a secret, but no point mentioning his name now. One day we were talking. He had an accident. Do you understand? He was going, something happened, his car flipped on Third Mainland Bridge. Tap, tap, tap. It was a passenger at the back, and the car landed upside down. At the end, he broke bones in his hand, cracked like 3 ribs. No, not a small thing. He was thoroughly injured. Let me first go ahead in the story, then I'll come back. The driver of the car, not a scratch on him. Not a scratch. Not the guy didn't have skin peel. They were both belted, you know. And by the time the driver finished, insurance paid 100% for the car. Basically, the driver lost nothing. And he was not injured. The man of God was broken. I don't think he broke less than 5 bones. They're mostly hand bones and ribs. So we're talking. You know, he was our guest. So I was in his hotel room. So he said, when the car landed, the first thing he said is, okay, Lord, you've got my attention. He said, that was the first thing that he said. He said, all right, Father, now you have my attention. He got the point. God was saying that, I have not been able to get your attention. So one agent just gave the driver a stud. Some people say, no, it's the devil. Like, you know me, this devil thing. Yeah. Devil say, why do you like calling my name? He said, you enter the devil territory. See, devil, we kill you if you had the choice. They said the vehicle flipped and flipped. When it landed, it flipped like 3 times, landed upside down. His bones were broken. The first thing that came out of his mouth, Lord, you have my attention. So what is it? Let me stop the story there. See, when you get, take all this as ringtones. Please, leave all this noise we make. The devil began to say, do you guys like the trouble I have? I don't have that kind of time. My time is short. You think I have time to be saying things that will draw you closer to God? I have an assignment in my life. I underline everywhere where the Bible emphasizes that God afflicts people. Because I grew up with a kind of teaching that said he doesn't. I read my Bible and said, wait, is it that we don't read? Or we took it and twisted that it only allows us to be afflicted. I said, it also allows us to be blessed. Because the same language with which he said we're blessed is the same language with which he said we're afflicted. And David talked about the blessing and affliction. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. He said, but now I obey your word. What does that mean? That affliction returned me back to the path of obedience, which is where my blessing really lies. And what is my real blessing? Remember, it's not money. It's not even long life. The real blessing is I'm formed in the image of Christ. All other things are added to this. Ministers, listen. It is bad ministry, very bad ministry you are doing, if you don't put these things in order. If you go to minister to people, and the first thing you do is to take their focus away from themselves into the people that don't like them, you are working for the enemy. You are working for the enemy. You're working for the enemy. Everything goes wrong in their life. You know, the devil was the one planning this. But as if God just, no. In my life, if I have trouble, God initiated it. So I said, no, it doesn't. Go and read your Bible. Read it well. Job. Who started Job's trouble? Who did? Who brought up the name of Job into a discussion? Wasn't Satan. The gist was given to us. Satan showed up. He came for another matter. There was one man, I think that one was somewhere in North Africa at that time, that some people had offered sacrifices against, like one Balaam. So Balaam wanted to curse those people. So he had to come with petition against them. When he showed up, God said, where are you coming from? He said, I traveled. I was in Egypt. The one guy came from Somalia. That's what he wanted to say to the Lord. So he said, from traveling to and fro. God said, hey, wait, you're traveling to and fro. Do you consider my servant Job? Go and read your Bible. He said, yes, I did, but I kind of gave up on him. Who brought Job's matter into the center of the discussion? So who was responsible, therefore, for the affliction of Job? It wasn't Satan. We need to get this clear. As a minister, please stop deceiving people. You go to a Christian, having said, the witches don't want you to prosper. They have never wanted anybody to prosper. It's not news. It's how did they come on your matter? How? That should be your focus on the individual's life. It's okay, come. Now, let's not... Let's even assume Satan initiated it. Let's use the opportunity to draw you closer to your God. If you're a minister, you're not doing what I have said. You're not doing ministry. You are spreading confusion. Because ministry is about reconciling people to God. Ministry is about pulling people closer to God. Not about solving their problems. It's called the ministry of what? Reconciliation. It's not ministry of problem solving. It's ministry of reconciliation. We are pulling people back to God. I'm not trying to get them healed and then they get away. The primary assignment, if you're a minister, is to reconcile people to God, and those who claim that they have been reconciled, push them closer, until they become perfectly like Him. Paul said, my little children, of whom I travel again in birth, until what? Christ is formed in you. Please, I believe totally in divine healing, I believe in prosperity. But it didn't say until you are healed. Not like healing is not good. But that's not the primary thing. That is Paul is saying, I'd rather have you sick, but Christ formed in you, than have you well, and Christ is not formed. We're not saying it's mutually exclusive. We're not saying that. We're just saying, let's put things what? In order. So Jesus said, seek what? First. The matter of first is what I'm talking about. The matter of first. Know why I'm saying so? So you see, people gather. You know, ministers, we actually leave preaching Christ and start preaching national development. Is it a bad thing? And no, living Christ and preaching national development is bad. But teaching national development in itself is not bad. But to leave Christ to do it, there's a problem. You know what it means? It means, therefore, giving a choice, really, really, really. Have a nation where people pray and worship, but they have bad roads. They have interrupted power supply. They always have it rolling blackout. So they get a total of 12 hours scattered here and there in a day. And their currency is not very strong. But they go to church. Do you get my point? They will prefer the other one. That is, I'd rather have a place where power is constant, water is constant, social amenities in order, and they don't go to church. And they don't worship. They don't give thanks. After all, that is the aim of our worship. That's the aim of our thanksgiving. That is the aim of our prayer. And like they say in Western Nigeria, if you leave your house in the morning to go and look for money, where's Auntie Taiwo? You know, she's my one I'm giving proverbs. She can't know this one anyway. You know, I told her her real name is Nkechi. This one she calling herself Taiwo. They have a saying on that side that if you leave your house in the morning to go and look for money, and you meet honor on the way, that you will go back home. No need to hustle anymore. They say why? They say because if you got money, you used to buy honor. In the same manner, many of us, if we get all these earthly things without prayer, we will stop praying. Why? After all, that's all we're praying about. There's what they call the peace of the graveyard. Let me just do small social talking. This is personal, you can disagree, but I really don't think you have enough reason to disagree what I'm about to say. Somebody asked me recently, look, the countries I like to live in this earth, all right, they are not many. The one I'm living in now is my primary one that I love, all right? I said, let's say, take another one. I picked some. And I told the person I would never pick one in Europe, I'm sorry. I said, if I want so-called developed countries, the only one I can pick that I know is United States. And I said, why? I said, this is my reason why. If you check all the other ones you've mentioned in Europe, they are very peaceful. I said, America is one that's very troublesome. I said, do you know where there's trouble in America? Please, this is not doctrine. This is my understanding. I said, because light and darkness are always fighting. I said, I go to America, there's always wahala. Why? There's light and there's darkness. I said, but when you get to Europe, darkness has frozen the whole place over, so everywhere is peaceful. If you go under, you don't understand. Christianity is against the law now in most of those countries. You just don't know. The laws are passed in such a manner that the practice of Christianity is a crime. They will not say you can't be a Christian. But like I told you once, two nurses somewhere refused to perform abortions. Two nurses, this is somewhere in Europe where nurses are allowed to. In most countries of the world, you have to be a doctor, actually a specialist, you know, in that area, gynecologist, obstetrician. But in that part of Europe, midwives are allowed to do it. All right? So these two midwives said, we are Christians, we can't. They fired them. They said, you can't fire us. That's discrimination. They went to court, they lost. They went to the court of appeals, they lost. They went to the Supreme Court in their country, they lost. Then the Christians in America joined them to defend them and appealed to the European Court of Human Rights. That's about the highest body to handle such things in the whole of Europe. And they lost. Meaning, no Christian midwife who wants her conscience in order can walk anywhere there. We don't notice these things. We don't notice these things. We notice the good roads. In case you do not know, these are countries that have system. As per, you know, you see in America, LGBT, no LGBT. It's a lot of noise because light is always fighting darkness. Almost all, apart from one or two or so, European countries, almost all. These things are all legal. They don't make the news. There's no fight. Nobody's arguing. They pass the laws. Some people challenge them in court. It dies off. Then everybody falls in line. So prostitutes pay tax. They register their prostitution business in Switzerland. Established. For many points, you hear things like this, you don't even know it's there. And it's legal, it's lawful, there's no... Yes. The other day I saw one clip. Two pornography stars, a man and a woman, went to the house of one little boy to advise him not to start pornography yet. This is Europe. Now, it's the way the video went that I said, Jesus Christ. It's supposed to be an educational video being done by two pornography actors. And it's been shown everywhere. And it's very normal. So the noise they make in America is because light keeps fighting darkness. Many of the countries are talking about darkness. There's no need to fight. This case is closed. So let's go on and go and fight in Kenya. Let's go to Nigeria and cause trouble. You know when I don't like to mention his name again. When our guy, Sha, was American president. Boko Haram took three territories in Nigeria. I mean, three local governments, I wanted to say. In Borno State alone. And we begged for weapons to fight. We didn't ask for money. We asked for weapons. We'll pay. One of their guys went and blocked the sale of weapons to Nigeria. We went to Brazil. They chased us to Brazil and blocked it. We went to Israel. America made a phone call and blocked it. Israel can't go against them. Finally, we took cash, put it on a private plane, and flew to South Africa. They know. They got there. Our plane was impounded. Our cash was impounded. We were just trying to buy bullets. Just trying to buy guns to fight Boko Haram. What was the crime we committed? That's where I'm going. Because under our guy's regime, they said we must legalize same-sex marriage and give freedom to perverts. And we said no. So in that case, Boko Haram can kill all of you if we have that way. And God was on our side. He said, I'm coming. Then he wanted to elect for us. Okay, so that I can speak freely. Navy Johnson said, if you say America, there's a woman that's running for president. If she wins, for the first time in your life, you'll be governed by a witch. Navy Johnson said openly, so it's not me. And God said, don't worry, I'm waiting. To everybody's shock, God threw her away and gave us one crazy guy. Who didn't care who married, like whether you, first day in office, the very first executive order he signed was to defund anybody preaching this is a gospel of so-called family planning abroad. He defunded them, said, no money for you again. Go abroad and be teaching them how to kill their unborn children. Say, I won't give you a dime. And the next thing, noise went away. And before we knew what was happening, we could buy everything we needed. And we collected our three local governments back until those guys became what they are supposed to be. Guerrilla, you know, fighters. Just because you shoot two people and run away. If you can fight, stay there. So now became go and blow power lines. I said, we're not saying it's good, but that's what you're supposed to do. You're a ragtag batch of, you know, human beings. You're not supposed, but before they held territory. They were forming their own government. They were collecting taxes. In case you don't know, three local governments in Borno State is bigger than a lot of eastern states. That's the size of territory those guys took. And these guys were watching us because we said, you can't marry a man if you're a man. That God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. That we don't understand it. They said, in that case, let Boko Haram kill you. See, the Lord's portion is what? His people. So please, I want to beg you from today, stop getting into those arguments. I don't care whose road is good. Know the truth? I care who's going to heaven. You can drive a good road into hellfire. I'd rather go on a bad road to heaven. After all, the road is paved. Very good, express road, wide, that leads to destruction. The one that leads to life is bad. Yeah, it's potholes. It's very small. Is that what the Bible says? Please, let me say it again. Stop. Those of you keep on saying that I want a better life for my children, don't be a fool. That's in the Bible. Not to be a fool. Look, what I said, husband, is it not good? Uh-huh. She learned in silence at home. The Lord is good. Don't be a fool. What do you call a better life for your children? That's what I'm asking you. What do you call? Please, I hope it's not. Oh, God, I'm back to it again. You know, if they enter high school today, in 5 years, you know when they will graduate. So? No, so? I can't even remember when I graduated. Oh, what difference does it make? Some of the richest men in the world did not graduate. What is it? They walked out of the school by themselves. What are you telling me? So? They were here now. As we go on strike, then they come back from strike. Life continues. And while they're on strike, we are going to church. While they're on strike, we'll go and learn a trade. You follow your mother to the market. While they're on strike, you go to a car wash and wash. Go and learn how to barb hair. Do something. What's all this nonsense? Yeah, so goes on strike. Please, let's stop making tiny things into heavy things in life. You want a better life for your children. There is no good life if they don't know God and are intimately related with Him. There's no better life. You know, I don't understand for people. You collect all the family land, everything. Say, I want to send my child to a good school. I ask a simple question. Name one fellowship or church established on that campus. You can't. And you tell me it's a good school. I'm sorry to say, are you out of your mind? What is good about it? What is good about it? Child, you're supposed to be a Christian. I've said again and again, the problem God has is Christians that don't believe. If my child's supposed to go to school for 4 years, but you delay and do everything, at the end of the day, he or she comes back in 6 years, knowing the word of God, full of the Spirit. And I don't know when they will graduate. But finally, after 6 years, the thing finished. I think, by my understanding, I prefer that to the one that the day you entered, I knew the day you will graduate, then you come back and you're not sure. You can't quote two scriptures without making mistakes. In 4 years, I cannot bet on your spiritual development. I have to be calling you. And did you pray this morning? Did you pray? You are in university, I'm asking you whether you prayed. I have a problem. I think I have a problem. Really? And please, you know why I'm talking about this morning? Children of God, know what to take pride in. You know, I've been saying this in again and again. Take pride in the things that matter. Stop taking pride in things that don't matter. How can you be in a country where there is true, literal freedom, especially to worship, and you're making light of it? And when you want to compare, what are you comparing with? The fact that water flows. I like one thing about water. If it doesn't flow, we go and collect it. We don't flow into the house. Wherever you are, we go there and bring it. Please go and read my article. Keep Trucking. I think it's one of the books. Either Habit of Faith or Living by Divine Wisdom. But if you go to our website, the article is there. keep on trucking. I say, I won't let challenges stop me from doing the work of God for my life. Are you getting my point? Yes. I won't let it. I will not let it. Say, power is not constant, we'll buy a generator. But this preacher, I will preach it. And you say, they say, maybe a road is not good. We'll go and use a bicycle to make it easier to navigate. But go to where we're supposed to go, we will go. We must have an assignment mentality. Please, what I'm trying to focus on is, please, let us learn to put value on the things that are most important. And that's what I talked about last time, the other time, the sense of value. Yes. But let me get back to the message for today, all right? That's just, like I said, it's an aside. I told the three of you to remind you of where I was. Yes, yeah. So, every experience in life, please remember, is designed to change you into what God intended for you to be. Now, what I want to say again, you can't be dogmatic about this, but just reason about it. For whatever reason, the good Lord has decided, at least for this moment, that the environment you are in is what he will use to squeeze and shape you into Christ-likeness. Let me prove that from scripture. There are three men in the Bible, under the Old Testament, under the law and the prophets, that God used to use their names to describe himself. You know them. Father, son, and grandson. Abraham, thank you. Ishak, and then Yaakov. Okay. I'm trying to learn. I heard some people pronounce Abraham. But let's do the English way. Abraham, all right? Isaac. I think his name is Ishak. And Yaakov, or Jacob. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look at those three people. Three totally different lives. God used them to describe himself. Abraham left, had a challenge. It took 25 years before he had Isaac. And all that while he was traveling and moving up and down. And then, you know the story of Abraham's life. Then let's go to Isaac. Isaac had his own issues. He moved a bit here and there. But he didn't suffer much. A bit of famine. That famine turned out to be abundance for him. When God said, don't go down to Egypt. He dwelt in Gerar there and he multiplied. In the 20th year of his marriage, he entreated the Lord for his wife Rebekah's sake. And she gave birth to Esau and Jacob. His life was fairly uneventful. Not too many things happened in his life. But the last guy, Jacob, that guy is a textbook. I think if he wrote the book, his book should be bigger than his grandfather's own. First, before them born him, we had started reading stories about him. Abraham didn't know anything until he was an old man. Before they gave birth to this one, we started reading stories how he's grabbing somebody's leg inside the mother's womb. As he was being born, he held his brother's leg. Say, come on, I'm supposed to go before you. He was pulling his own leg. He said, leave me. He sort of managed to escape out of the mother's womb. Okay. Jacob was watching him. The guy was called supplanter. Everywhere he was only looking for how to take advantage of people. If Jacob was your friend, you had to watch your back. He said, good morning. You look outside. Okay, good morning. Because the guy can give you good morning at 10 p.m. You never can tell. That's how Jacob was. Then one day, what he really wanted, which was what made God love him, was he wanted to connect with his maker. He wanted to connect with the God of his father and his grandfather. And went for the birthright. His brother did not have regard for that. And so his brother lost the birthright to him. Now, from birthright, collecting birthright, first to lay hold of that which he had bought. You know, he bought it legally. First, war. He had to go and wear hairy skin to make himself. But man, Esau must have been hairy. If he takes a... Man, that guy must have been hairy. That is, to feel like you, we need to wear... He wears something. You get my point. Esau must have been hairy. I got a real early man. He must have been hairy. Then, this is where the story goes. He had to leave home, travel to his uncle's house. You were a supplanter. Supplanter met senior supplanter. You know, there's pastor and senior pastor. This is supplanter and senior supplanter. just to marry a wife, 7 years of labor. Okay, give me the wife now. You know, in this place, you know, I've seen, I've ever done business with those who keep showing you terms you did not know as business is going on. There's one guy like that. I had to tell his friend. I said, your friend is crooked. You know when they say somebody is crooked? That is the most crooked human being I've had a dealing with. He keeps changing. Do you get my point? It is okay. Okay, we are going to meet by 5, okay? All right. You get to his office, 5 o'clock. You call him. You are not here now. He said, I didn't say I'll be in the office. I said we'll meet by 5. Ah. Excuse me. Where was I supposed to meet you? You didn't ask me for where we will meet now. And I'm like, excuse me. We are doing business. This business, we negotiated it in your office. He said, let's meet by 5. I've left my home. I've driven to... Now, this is something else. I don't want to give you detail of the real thing. I'm just giving an illustration. He said, I never said I would be in the office by 5. So I'm like, okay. All right. So where are we supposed to meet by 5? I'm at home. Am I supposed to come to your house by 5? That's what I expected. But you didn't tell me that. And I've never been to your house. Please describe your house. They describe the house. You get there by 5 o'clock. All right, here's the balance of your money. Where's the goods you're supplying me? I didn't say I'll bring it by 5. I only said we'll meet by 5. And you're looking at this guy like, excuse me. Now, this is what this guy did to me again and again and again. Crooked human. His name is Laban. Anyway, let me stop that story here. I'm trying to describe Laban. Laban was a senior supplanter. You know, when you have gone through things, you will learn obedience through the things that you suffer. Yes, I'm telling you. He got there, Jacob's after now. Dear Lord, I shall not supplant anymore. Is this how people used to feel when I supplant them? God said, yes now. Forgive me of all the supplantism in my life. Laban changed his wages 10 times. But let me just say something quickly. Allow God to defend you. Let me tell you how God defends you. You listen to him, read your scriptures and obey it along the way. Even when things don't seem good. Do you get my point? You know what I'm saying? So, if you see, Jacob remained honest. Supplanting, supplanting, Jacob did not steal. Supplanting, supplanting, he kept his word. 7 years I will work, 7 years he worked. 7 more years I will work, 7 more years he worked. Now after he has finished working for 14 years to marry 2 wives, some of you don't appreciate your father-in-law. You don't appreciate your father-in-law at all. You don't appreciate your father-in-law at all. You are complaining that you marry from him, say women, they are expensive. Did you have to work for 14 years? All they ask is to bring yam, bring goat, bring money, and you are complaining. These women are not expensive. I don't care where you marry them from. Go and ask Jacob about expensive wives. 7 years per girl. I don't know, get my point. You imagine me going to meet my father-in-law. He said, okay, you work in my factory 7 years to marry my wife. I said, daddy, what did you say? That's how we do in our place. So whatever they charged you, be thankful. What did I say? Be thankful. Didn't work okay, be thankful. I went to UD with you. They didn't charge you too much. Go and pay the balance. Do you get my point? Go there. Go and cut the grass in the village for 7 days. Then you know you married your wife. Jacob, oh my father. But all the while, he was just patient with God. At the end of the day, you know what? God brought him out of that place very rich. When he was living, he was richer than Laban. God had to personally defend him. Now, many of us may not know, Jacob, at the point in time, had an angel that used to appear to him. Yeah, that's why God would tell him, do this, don't do that. The angel used to come and communicate with Jacob. So when he said, he made strip on a stick. It wasn't, God, I want to make this strip. I want to believe. Faith is obedience to instruction. They gave him instruction. This is what you are going to do. And he did it, and God converted all the wealth of Laban to his house. And then one day got time to go away. Now, I've told the story of Jacob again, which we all know. So I can come to his particular summary. What is the summary? That's the one Oswald Chambers gave. Oswald Chambers said that all this suffering. Now, first, I hope you know he went through all of this suffering for one simple reason. The inheritance. He wanted the inheritance. Jacob did not go through all of that because he was not working for the inheritance. See, Isaac was rich. If you read the story, Isaac was very rich. He settled in Gerar and became very wealthy. He acquired land when people were leaving the land. Isaac was very wealthy and he was in the land of his inheritance that God promised to his father and promised to him and was going to give to his descendants. Yet Jacob left home with only the clothes on his back. Father didn't give him anything. He couldn't because he ran away. Years later, he came back. The Bible was not emphatic about it. His father was still alive. But he had become richer than, okay, he was richer than Laban. Now, I don't know how rich he was compared with Esau. The detail was not given to us. He offered Esau a lot of goods for peace sake. Now, Esau did not accept for a number of reasons. One of them was that God had warned Esau. Just like he warned Laban about Jacob, he also warned Esau, be careful. I know what I found out. You may not know it, but God has been taking care of you. Don't realize it. If you over the last few, some things happened in my life. I just realized that, God has been defending me. I will just sometimes remember my childhood, remember things. I said, Banky, you're not alive today by chance. Oh. God has kept you. I told a number of times in my life, I almost got killed. Once I dashed into the road without looking. I was a little boy. I would have been around 13. Yes, I was not more than 13. That one I'm very certain. I could not have been more than 13 because of where I was. I dashed into the road out of excitement without looking. And that bus missed me by less than 1/5 of a second. That is, I just ran into the road and it was speeding, full speed. I just saw a blur in front of me as it passed. I was going that right in front of me like this. I was going so fast I couldn't stop. That's not the first time. Let me not bore you with stories. I just look over it. I've traveled at all times. You look at the deliverance of God. Please, pray for your children. I keep on saying, don't worry over them. Pray over them. Your job is not to worry. It's to what? To pray. One day I was coming back from NYC. I wanted to make it back home in one day. Usually it used to be 2 days journey. Because we set out very early that morning. I traveled with one man out of that place. You know, I got close home. Just needed about 2 hours to get home. The night came. Of course, I was a copper, NYC member. So naturally, look for the copper's lodge. But it didn't work out. The bike man that took me, I still remember, was very funny. So he was taking from one place to the other. Okay, let's go here. Let's go. Is there a hospital near around? Let me see the doctor there. It was a village. Just needed a place to stay. So after a while, the guy just got tired. Isabel, let's go. That is how I had no control again. The guy just rode his bike, drove me to his house. Drove me to his house and left his bed for me. I should sleep there. There was no ceiling. It was an uncompleted, you know, by our standard building. He left his bed. I said I should sleep there. At night, he went and brought me some meat, pepper soup, you know, and a bottle of malt, I remember, that I should eat. He and his friend were outside talking. Then I don't know where he went and crashed with one, like we say, went to sleep with one of his friends. Then early morning, he came, gave me soap. Now, today, the kind of place it was, I had to bathe in the open. There was no bathroom. So I stepped out to the side of the building very early in the morning while it was still dark. Had my bath in the open. He didn't ask whether I wanted to bathe or not. He just arrived and gave me soap. Then when I was ready, he took me on the bike again and took me to the park. This night was early morning. So it's been so nice. So I did my hand in my pocket to give him some money. He just said, oh, don't worry about it. And he rode off. He just went away. So you can imagine, okay, early morning, I took the first vehicle. When I got home, my mother saw me at home early in the morning. I where are you coming from? I said, no, I told her the story. That what happened, why I'm just coming. Okay. Those who want to know, the place is called Ayongba in Kogi. Yeah. So I just know that I'm coming from Ayongba. What are you doing in Ayongba? I told her the story. She now said, oh, my mother said my children will never be stranded. That's what I'm telling the story. Pray for your children. She just quoted that prayer that her mother used to pray for her. Pray is prayer you need. It's not worry. It's prayer you need to pray for your children. It's prayer. She just quoted and said, my mother used to say my children will never be stranded. I'm talking about Jacob. Angel, look, go and read the story of Jacob. There was one that was told, Laban. Laban said, the angel of God told me not to speak good or evil Laban had come armed, ready for war. And angel said, "Whoa, you've been supplanting this guy 10 times. I didn't say anything. If you just abuse him, I will enjoy you." Now Laban said, "Ah, you know these children are my children. Why wouldn't they be your children? When they have, you have been warned." We found that exactly the same thing happened with Esau. God went ahead and told Esau, "Hey, your brother is coming." You see, it's not all that manipulation that Jacob did that got him deliverance. It's not. Divided them into camps, a group went, and said, "What are these? These are the goods that my master said I should give to his lord." Whose lord? They had one Esau. See, Jacob is coming. He must have safe passage. God was his defense. God will go and say, "Hey, you, come. My guy is coming. Safe passage. Esau, say after me. Safe passage. Say it again. Safe passage." He said, "Lord, everywhere here is safe. There's no problem." That was why he was talking nice to Jacob, in case he did not know it. That's why I want to quote Oswald Chambers, right? Yeah, Oswald Chambers now said, remember, it was inheritance he was going for. That's why I went to that again. It was inheritance. All of this fight was about the inheritance. The inheritance. So Oswald Chambers said, "Wait, the sufferings of Jacob, were they necessary for the inheritance?" He said, "No. But for Jacob to get the inheritance, yes." That the sufferings of Jacob, all right, were not tied to the inheritance. The inheritance wasn't tied to those sufferings. But that for Jacob to get the inheritance, he had to go through it. Isaac would not have had to go through it. He didn't have the character that needed to be cracked and broken with that. See, if you know a bit of biology and agriculture, you know seeds differ. There are seeds you just drop in the earth, cover it, they germinate. There are some, no. You first soak them in warm water for days. It's called breaking dormancy. You have to help them. Some of them, you physically crack their back. Some of them, God had designed them before you came there to be farming them. Breads used to crack them for them to germinate. There are seeds that what God does is that this seed in its own will never germinate. So the design of nature that God puts there is that this bread is what they feed on. Then as the seed passes through their intestine, the hard back is worn off. It's peeled off gently by the digestive juices and interaction and the gizzard of the bird. Then the bird will fly and defecate. That's when it germinates. But if you are used to planting beans, you think it's everything that germinates like that. No, it's not everything. Some, you have to physically take them and hammer them. One of the things farmers do, I don't have examples in my head now, one of the things farmers will do is to crack them before they plant them. All of it because you want the seed inside to come out. So Isaac didn't need all of this. Jacob, however, God said, this inheritance, now you go buy him, maybe. You have bought it. You don't buy job. The inheritance said, "I like you. You like me. We can have a good relationship here. However," thank you. "However, this supplanting business is not the will of God. So go to senior supplanter to learn not to supplant. However, this guy is so strong. You will meet God on the way." So the angel of the Lord came and wrestled. What was the aim? Break his leg. The God had dislocated his hip. So that after wrestling with God, Jacob never walked straight again. You see? Let me say something to you so that you understand some things about life. This life, it's difficult to judge you. Just leave God. There's something that Apostle Okemute twisted the other day from Oswald Chambers. He said that, Oswald Chambers said that, don't try to make a doctrine after the dealings of God in your life. As God has been creative with you, let him be creative with other people also. And I told him that that's one problem I had with one teaching of one particular man of God, that everybody follows, that this is how to be led by the Spirit. I said, no, there's no hard and fast rule on how God will lead. God leads people different ways. The reason why I wrote my book, please, Guided by the Spirit, please go and read the book. Okay? The inheritance needed to germinate, and God took Jacob through paths that didn't take other people through. I was saying that judging life is hard. The life of Jacob is not one I would love to live. Even though now we call him, at least until Jesus came and changed everything. He was called the God of Jacob. His name Jacob, thy God, you know. Psalm 146, we read this morning. The God of Jacob, he was called there. He was called the God of Jacob. Beautiful experience. I mean, like, to be called, for God to be called by your name. However, do I want to go through that? The man only had peace in the last days in Egypt. After Esau, what Esau did not do to him, his sons did it. What he saw in the hands of his sons. Some of the Bible stories, you don't know, they overlap so much. When Jacob was going through some of those things, all right? No, sorry, when Judah was having two sons die because no honor and this, Jacob was alive, observing these things happen. That guy didn't have one moment of rest. You see, I've noticed something. Many people that God used in the Bible, God just covered our eyes. We didn't see them well. If you look at them, you won't like them. You wouldn't want to live the life of Jacob, I'm telling you. Forget this one. We are not reading the Bible. God of Jacob. He said, do you want to be Jacob? Say, no, Lord, leave that. Thank you very much. Jacob, thanks. No, Peter is good. Let them hang me upside down at the end of my life. I would rather be Peter. The suffering of Jacob. His son he loved the most. The one he made that so-called coat of many colors. It wasn't about the color, but the fact that it was a specially made apparel that signified his position in his life. Replacement for his mother. They took that one too. They took that one. You don't get, this guy is so far though. Who took his own children? How do you have children you can't trust? Then one of them took your wife. Reuben. You know, I just want to read one particular scripture. Please, if you can quickly get there before me, all right? Help me out there. I want to see the story of when Jacob met Pharaoh. Just show me where it was. When Jacob met Pharaoh. Yes. Yeah, Pharaoh. When he got to Egypt. I just want to quickly read it. It's definitely towards the end of Genesis, as you know. Yeah, that's Genesis 46. Yeah, I'm already there. When he met Pharaoh, okay, chapter 47, verse 7, then Joseph brought his father Jacob and presented him to Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh said to Jacob, how many years have you lived? Because Pharaoh, let's make a long story short, he wasn't used to things like that. So Jacob said to Pharaoh, the years of my sojourning are 130. Listen to what he said. Few and unpleasant have been the years of my life. So, however, I have not attained the years of my fathers, that my fathers lived during the days of their own sojourning. Where I'm going is what David said about his life. What did he say? Few and what? Unpleasant. Did you notice that? If you read New Living Translation, it says, I've traveled this earth for 130 hard years. Jacob, yes. That's what Jacob said to Pharaoh. I have traveled this earth for 130 hard years. Also, Chambers said, why were they hard? Biology taught us because the back of the seed was hard. We needed to crack it. It's a small in number and full of sorrow. That's another translation. But you get the point. I have traveled this earth 130 hard years. See, those who brought Jesus Christ to you, they suffered though. Yeah. Jacob is one of them. All of this for the inheritance. You don't like Esau. Didn't have this kind of suffering. Where Esau had two wives that gave his mother a headache. They would know him. And look, and you have to understand the people like Esau. They didn't understand this kind of thing. If two wives give him headache, you know what he would do? Get a third one. And the third one starts misbehaving. It divorces the three and marries another three. Say, look, if you are looking for people who have time, hard life, go and meet my brother. He's the one chasing one inheritance. Me, this life that I have is a European life. I'm going to live it well. My road must be good. Constant power. All this was grinding me to be carrying buckets to go and say we are in band A, band B, electricity and all of that. I don't have that time. I'm going to get me a European life. So leave me. All the suffering that Jacob suffered, Esau had none of it. Jacob collect. If you think this is about money, Jacob collected the inheritance. Esau was probably richer than him when he came back. Look, first, Esau stayed back at home with his father. Family, physical inheritance, he collected. You are the one that ran away to wherever Laban's house was and was there. You understand? He was there with Laban, arguing on whether the sheep have spots or the sheep have stripes. Look, in Esau's house, striped, spotted, or plain, they were his own. And he had a massive army. See, Jacob all his life, maybe towards the latter few years, all right, we can leave that out. But all his life, until that 130 years, did not enjoy more than Esau did. Where he wants the enjoyment now? You ever heard that Esau slept and used a rock for pillow? If Esau wanted to sleep, carry two sheep, you lie here, you lie here. He lies on their wool and sleeps in peace. What are you talking about? Not this one of... You have to understand what God is going for in your life. This one that is in your life is about comfort. It's because you are not having any inheritance. We are trying to crack open. I said, Christian, look, understand what God is doing in your life. So, you've had trouble. It was supposed to be worse. But God said, this trouble you have had, let's use it well. It's my ringtone. I've used it to call you into a relationship with me. If you didn't have this trouble, you go to church. God said, be honest. If you didn't have this trouble, will you be here? Okay, they delayed you in school. Was not that final year or one extra, waiting for just one course? Was that not the reason why you finally agreed before you were fighting for first class? I must get a first class. I must get a 2-1. Why? Because they told that once you get a 2-1 and come out, the oil companies, the banks, the telecom companies, they will employ you. Is that not so? Okay, they say, okay, come to fellowship now. Ha! They think you're 2-1 on first class. God said, okay. Now you see, you have five friends going for this 2-1 first class. Three of them got it. You, your GP was just about to hit it. Then something happened. The day of that exam, you slept. Or they changed the time. Instead of it being 2:00, you thought, they moved it to 9 in the morning. And so you take sleep. Then you miss one critical course. And your lecturer decided, okay, how do we do this? Rather fail you. Or I know you're good, so let me just give you D and you go. He said, no, that will drop me to 2-2. At the end of the day, shall make a long story short, he had one whole year to stay in school to offer one course, which is a second semester course. Check it. Now, that was when he started going to church, finally. Now you had time. You finally started going to church. This is the first time you had a book to read that was not econometrics. This is the first time I read a book that's not statistics. Macroeconomics. Now, you've actually... Canadian actually wrote two kinds of faith. Wow! Man, where was that when you guys were reading this? And the rest of us are looking at you that. You were chasing 2-1 and chasing first class. God has given 1 year now to learn his word. And your friends have used that to show the injustice in the Nigerian system. God said, you're experiencing the justice of heaven when you're talking. You are experiencing the justice of heaven. And you are still speaking. No, you shouldn't be talking. You should be grateful. Oh, your other friends, everything went according to plan, by the way. That one is now working in this oil company. The other one is working in that bank. That one is working in that telecom company. One has gotten a job with one international accounting firm. And they've sent him to Dubai for training. While you are still there looking. Some people are now telling you. You can make it to just forget NYSC. Just forget NYSC. So that your friends, the year they have ahead of you, can catch up with them. You want to hear the word of the Lord. God said, if you forget that NYSC for that purpose, I will give up on you. I will leave you. You will make the money. But that inheritance has become Esau-ized. You know they call it to Esau-ize something. They're not like Esau. I will give it to somebody else more worthy than you. That 1 year delay, why don't you go to church and go and give thanks for it? The reference says something there. That, listen, he said when he went to church, he grew up typical British home, aristocratic. He used to go to church, but just church, you know, formal. But when he first went to a church that was not an Anglican church, Church of England, it was when somebody invited him to his Assemblies of God. He said, even though they existed. And the theatrics there was so unlike. He wasn't used to it. No one. The preacher was a taxi driver. Or a truck driver. He was used to preachers who were professionals. He dressed roughly, and the man was preaching and he jumped on top of a bench. And then people were looking at this kind of. And then most of them there were women. He said, finally, the man preached and preached. And I said, if you want this, he said, whatever this was, he didn't know. Basically, if you want to give your life to Christ, they're talking about the life. You can't remember what the man said. Just know the guy had a lot of theatrics. You know, the way we Pentecostals preach, he jumped. He, finally, the man fell. He jumped on the bench collapsed. A man who's used to somebody on the lectern, you know, that kind of thing, standing straight and say, my people in the Lord, this Sunday morning we have come to worship. So somebody jumping up and down and falling down. He said that at the point in time when they now made an altar call. So put up your hand. So he was wondering that, why would anybody put up his hand in this kind of place? In front of these old ladies. So he noticed one hand beside him was up. So he checked to see the hand and it was his own. He said that the man swore till he died at the age of almost 90, was 88 thereabout, that I did not put that hand up. The hand just went. So he looked. He looked. He said, I found that the hand was joined to my shoulder. What? So they called him and prayed for him. He was like, who did that? He was so sure somebody else put up his hand. Now, this is why I'm telling his story again. He said that after that, they came for another meeting. They did some things again. And then I said that, if you want this, put up your hand. He said, now reason to himself. Now, I believe it was Holy Spirit. He said, a reason that God put up my hand for me the first time. He would not do it for me the second time. So this time around, he voluntarily put up his hand by himself. Why am I telling this story? There are things God does for you first time. He said, next time, do it yourself. Because see, let me say something about God. He wants to bless you. So he wants to put that thing to your credit. Do you get what I'm saying? That's why I'm telling somebody this story. 1 year has been wasted by God. Because they don't recover that year. Leave it for me. Don't skip NYSC. No matter what I put in front of you, go. I'm not promising you anything. I'm not bringing you to Enugu. I'm going to take you to... No, it's Enugu, I'm like, it's Enugu, but not Enugu City. Where is that Chinwe's place? Who's the one? I don't know. That. I want a place that I know. Anyway, you go somewhere remote, yeah? You will go there. And you are going to stay there 1 year. You can come and go, but basically I'll give you a job there. It can be a rural health center. They've not had a doctor in 12 years and you're a doctor. Or it can be the rural school, and you're going to be their teacher for math, English, and physics. Unlikely combination, right? Yeah, because they don't have... I mean, you speak... good. You know, if you read the Bible, just read the modern Bible, you will know English language.
Yes.
Have you?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Go there. So you are going to teach Bible, you will do all of that for 1 year. Don't hurry out of the place. I've held the first year, all right, to show you that you are leading yourself in a direction from where your destiny will not manifest. Now, I've taken charge now. I demand you rest. I demand you relax. I demand you calm down. I'm not in a hurry to make you rich by the time you are 30. There's no hurry about being rich. There's no hurry about it. This money you are looking for, you even see it, you are 45. So just, if you like, rush for it. I will block you. One day I was talking to somebody the other day. She was telling me something about another guy. I said, I've known him for a long time. Always wanted to go abroad. He said, why didn't he go? I said, say God has never blocked you before. That's why you're talking. I said, I saw a man that God blocked. See, let me just say something about life. Relax for God early. If God mount your matter, Jesus Christ. You will go to motor park. You will even see bus. When God wants to block somebody, see, he just said, let me block you early. Once I'm blocking, just go back. Don't force your way. He said, if you do, you will lie down in torment. And sometimes, you know, I see people that, I don't know, once one young man came to me for counsel. And I remember the last thing I thought. I felt like him say, is it that you want to die? Because one of the things I learned early in life is when God is blocking. I don't want to start giving stories now. I've seen... Oh, God. He just said, why can't you give me that? that's not the direction I want you to face. Someone will just disappoint you in a way that you can't, you like. If you have my own kind of spiritual eyes, spirit of discernment, just that even the devil doesn't have this power. You know, there are devil, powers that the devil doesn't have, that only God could have done this. A young man came to me that he wanted to go abroad. Not today. Today I'm telling you, I didn't even know my wife that time. And this year I've been married for 25 years. Tell you how long ago this was. It's not today because I didn't live in Nigeria. He saw me and said, ah, Pastor Bank, please, we need to talk. He knew me from school. I was, of course, I've been a minister since we were on campus. So I said, what is this issue? He told me that those are days that you use a whole month's doctor's salary to pay for one visa interview. One whole month. No, that's not exaggerating. To pay the money needed. It used to cost us a whole month to earn it. Okay, think about it. Those days I was a resident doctor, my salary was $70 equivalent. And visa interview was never less than $100. I don't know whether I get my point. At the end of the month, my salary will buy $70, the whole month salary. If you wanted to apply for visa interview, you needed $100. I don't know exactly then, but the first time I applied for American visa, all right, it was $100 we paid. So think about it. This young man had gone, was British visa, he had gone twice, and they had denied him. The one that he did that shocked me, that was when he came to me and said, help. He applied a third time. And the man who said he would help him, he called the man 2 days before the interview, the man just died. Either a day or two before the interview. Say, sir. The man said, no, there's no, that what the British people want to see is money. So I'm going to give you maybe like £5,000. So the man said, see me the day before the interview. He called the man before the day before that day. And he called the office. Somebody in the office picked the call. What's the issue? He said, can I talk to someone? He said, he died this morning. He didn't hear. So he ran to me. That's the last time on the road. He said, please, I need to see you. So I said, yeah, come now. I was much younger, of course, 25 years ago, more than. When he finished telling me, he said, that's your third attempt, yes. And your helper has died. He said, yes. So what should he do now? I said, there's nothing you will do. You paid for the interview already. Say, I said, go. Whatever they do to you is the will of God. He went for the interview and they denied him. Now, this is where I'm going. If I was the one, you will not see my leg. Anything British, you won't see there ever. So what if God wants you to go? He will come to my house to carry me. They will have to bring, to my shock, this young guy still struggled and went. I said, well, I don't know if he's dealing with the Lord. I won't say more than that. But God said, 3 times I've tried. See, when God is blocking you, let me tell you how you know that you are beginning to do it wrong. When you start telling stories that are not true. When you start modifying things. When you start borrowing money that you don't have to beef up into an account that's not your own. Just know that you want to walk out of the will of God. That's it. Like I know most all of you have seen Professor Dindley too. If that was real life, the day that guy should have entered his, later on, if God helps me to get there, the one I wanted to do today, we have not reached it, so maybe we'll leave it again another time. One of the things I want to teach about the defense in precepts. I've been talking about here and there, but I want to take a message on it, the defense in precepts. That thing is a movie, but it says it's based on a true story, okay? But if that thing really happened, for those of you who have seen the movie, once that guy landed in Ghana, and that man told him to dance service cooperate. And he joined him to say, you are from Nigeria? Yes, Papa. And he said all of those things. He should have packed his bag next day and not even told the man anything. Just pack your bag. He said, arise and depart. This is not the place of your rest. Why? Because of the defilement. So let me tell some of you. You've been waiting for a job for a long time. Finally, you're going to get a very nice job, beautiful job. The first day, they say, forge a paper. God said, I won't see anything. Twist documents. They want to defraud the boss. It's your guy you are talking to. They want to defraud the company. Or they've defrauded the company. See, don't resign. Just travel. Because if you resign, it will be too much labor. But to enter a bus and go and see your grandfather is not hard. Put off your phone. Let them be wondering what happened to you. After 2 weeks, come back. Say, where were you? I don't even know where I was. then they will think your head is not correct. They will sack you. God has just delivered you. The first day you are getting to work, let me tell you, some of you, if you say, Pastor Vanke, don't worry. The next time you remember this, you'll be in detention. Yeah, this is what I've said now. Yeah. Some people will not listen. Next time they will remember, they'll be in detention. And they won't even know the fraud they committed. The day the paper passed through their table, they won't even remember. Except that they will show them the paper, their signature is on it. And then you will cool your head in detention for like 1 week. And all you'll be remembering is what Pastor Banks said that day. Then they will release you. God said, travel. This time around, resign and travel. Get out from there. You see, look, I'm saying when God blocks your way, that's the point I'm making. Like that man is a movie, all right? But like, say, let's assume it's real life. The moment they wanted to use him to be doing, you are from, and they're doing fake word of knowledge with him, you should have known that this place is not good. You should have boarded the next flight. You see, there's one thing God says, my spirit will not always strive with man. There's what is called the sleep of death. Let me tell you what they call the sleep of death. When the things that used to stir up your conscience doesn't anymore. It's not because it's all right, but because you are sleeping the sleep of death. Not because it's not all right, but suddenly you are comfortable with what is evil. It's because the spirit says, I can no longer strive with you. I have argued with you on this thing. I have sent people, I have talked with you again and again. We have tried to solve this matter. After a while, you start feeling comfortable in that which is wrong. It's called the sleep of death. But the story of one man, it's a physical story so that you'll understand. He was lost in the cold. So he kept on moving, But he had knowledge of, you know, the human physiology, how the body works. So at a point in time, he suddenly felt tired, except that it was no longer cold. So he laid down. So let him sleep, and he's in the snow. Then his brain reminded him, you are about to enter the sleep of death. The cold has so entered you, your brain has given up. So he got up this time and he used sheer willpower and started running. He said he just realized that what had happened was that his brain was getting cool. So he had reached a point where the system was no longer responding. So he kicked in with comfort. There's one man I saw his video. He can hold his breath for 20 minutes. He can hold his breath. He won't breathe. You submerge him in water, so it's not like there's no wayo. You drop him inside water, they clip his nose, and he goes underwater, and he can stay there for, I think his record should be 20-something minutes. I will check it. So he was training. Now, you see where I'm going. He was training people on how to do it. I won't teach you how to do it. You won't go and practice it. The time I did it was, I've never done it. Okay, so let's leave that in. There are things I don't want to learn. Don't worry, the Lord will deliver me if I get back into water. Now, where I'm going with the whole story is that he said that the first few minutes are the most difficult portion because of the mind training. That your body kicks in, reacting to the fact that you're not getting oxygen. First, he talked about how to get as much oxygen as possible. And in those 20 minutes, 15 minutes or so, he has to lie perfectly still so that he doesn't consume oxygen. So all the oxygen there will just be left for his brain to function. And places like the kidneys that can't do without the oxygen. So he lies perfectly still. Of course, he's practiced for a long time. But this is what he's saying. This is where I'm going. He said one of the things you have to train yourself for also is to know when to stop. He said because after you've gone there for a long time, at the point in time, your body starts fighting for oxygen. That's where I'm going. So there's another training to know when to stop. The first few minutes, you're struggling to breathe. Then after a while, you get calm. Then after a while, your body doesn't care anymore. Whether you breathe or you don't breathe. So that is when you're about to die. So it's those who are not trained to recognize that we just die, trying to hold their breath for a long time. It's called the sleep of death. One prayer you must pray for yourself, God, don't let me enter the sleep of death. What is the sleep of death? The one in which the Holy Spirit has said, this one doesn't want to hear. Ephraim has joined himself to idols. God said what? Leave him alone. When God says, leave him alone, that's the type of one I'm preaching. When they say that, what's the sin unto death? What's the sin that's not unto death? I said, if you are asking, you have not committed it. For you to be concerned enough to come and ask, Pastor, please, what's the sin unto death? And your mind, hey, I hope I've not committed it. I said, once that happens, you have not committed it. Don't worry, rest, you have not. Reconcile yourself to God. obey his word, live righteously, you are safe. Those who have committed a sin that is unto death, that is what I'm talking about. If you go and read them, what I want to say, the sin that cannot be forgiven. Please let me withdraw what I'm saying. Yeah, the sin that cannot be forgiven, the sin against the Holy Spirit, the one that Paul talked about. If you go in Hebrews chapter 6, all right, it is there. So not sin unto death now, all right, that's a different matter. But the sin against the Holy Spirit that cannot be forgiven. That if you are asking out of fear that have I committed it, don't worry, you have not. Why? What do I mean? It is simply because, you see, for you to be having a conscience that wants to know, God has not given up on you. The Holy Spirit is talking to you. Those that have crossed that line, those that can no longer be, renewed to repentance, they want to know the truth. They don't care. Read the story on Kenneth Hagin's book. One pastor's wife that left the husband. And all the ministers were trying to reconcile them. She went and married another man, then left that one. Had another husband that was not her husband. Just walk up and down like a mad woman. And Jesus said something in that vision to the prophet. That all of these things, I still have taken her back. Yeah, that's not the problem. If she had repented. Then one day they were in church. She walked in there, opened the door. Are you all still sitting down here? If you're waiting for me to come back, just let it be known to you all. I don't want your Jesus Christ and I'm not coming back. And she left the place and shut the door. And God said, that was the day I left her alone. After that, Ephraim has joined herself to idols. Leave her alone. Let me add this one. Please, respond to the Lord quickly. Especially when he's blocking your way. Retrace the steps. Go and sit down. Sometimes this motivational speaking, I keep on telling you, is not good. Perspire to acquire desire that you admire. Do not retire, but refire. Listen, if the Holy Spirit blocks your way, retire. Oh. Go home and go and sit down. And say, Lord, I only want to... See, there's no option. There's no other option apart from prayer for the life of a believer. Prayer must be a constant thing. On Saturday, we are talking about... on Friday discussions, we are talking about ordinances next. One of the things we're talking about is profession. You have to constantly commit yourself to the Lord every time, saying to him that your will I will do, your will I will do, your will I will do. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. It's an important thing you have to pray every time in your life. Because, you see, if God blocks your way and you keep on badging against it, after a while, he will leave you alone. You say, okay, go your way. Do it your own way. You want to know the truth? The consequences are yours to handle. Now, I said you should tell me where we were at the beginning. That was a long time ago. I know you are now lost. Don't worry, I know. Okay, remember, I do remember, yes. But I'm not going to start it again. I'm watching my time. Okay? So all of this Jacob went through. What was the reason? That inheritance was my what? Manifest. And this is the beautiful part about this life. Or, I don't know whether you call it beautiful or not, but the man didn't enjoy much of that. Like I said to you, those who have an inheritance, they are the ones that God treats like that. Those who have said to God, I will follow you, I will do... See, this life is not, you know, to give the impression that the comfort you experience is a sign of your blessing is very wrong. Did you hear what I said? There was a woman in the Bible, the portion of it written for us, at least let's take it on that value, on that face value. Jesus was going to come. God recruited her to join those who will pray him safely into this life. And you know what he did? He removed her husband. She had no husband, no children, no other thing to do but to come to the temple every day and be offering sacrifices and prayers. If I was there, I would have criticized her. A young woman like you should go and remarry. Get a trade. After all, Lydia is a maker of purple. You two can trade purple and support the ministry. That's what I would have said. But yeah, I'm being honest with you. You think I know everything. Some of these things I'm saying, people don't know. It's other anointing. You know. When I'm here, I know it. When I sit down, I'm as crazy as you are. I know you're not normal, so it's two of us. We are all struggling, you do it in quotes, struggling in quotes now, to obey God. You think it's every time I just sit down and say, nevertheless, not your will, and you take my money. I will first look for the money. It's when I can't find it, and I sit down, there's anybody. So if you think you are, yeah, I love Pastor Banky, man, just full of faith. Look, your faith and my own are likely on the same level. Yours may even be a little higher because you are listening to me. Sometimes I don't even listen to me. My wife listens to me more than I do. Even my children now. See them playing Pastor Banky, and I look like, hey, now, wow. You know, you've been in the house. You see one of my children walking around with a phone in the hand. And who's playing? Pastor Banky. How many times have I walked around in the house with phone in my hand as Pastor Banky? I don't have time for Pastor Banky. Who has time? Sometimes I tell my wife, please put that enough. She said, why? I said, what's that guy saying? He's like, how is it your problem? And I'm the one preaching. You know, when I'm preaching, all right, when you are listening to me preach, you are listening to what I'm saying, the word inside. When I'm listening, I'm criticizing every sentence. I'm like, why did you say that? Is that story a public story? Okay, what does that go to what you are preaching now? But you are listening. You're like, amen. Praise God. Me, I want to say, can't you, you're amazed they preach better than this. Do you? I'm being honest. My wife would tell you, there's my wife playing my music in the room. I said, sweetheart, please, can you just wear your headphones, please? She's like, why? I don't think I like what this guy is saying. And I'm the one preaching. She said, oh, she'll carry her headphones and wear it so that she can have peace. I'm the one preaching. What am I trying to say to you? So don't get the impression that I'm just so full of faith. If you take my money, I will look for it. When I can't find it, I will now kneel down and say, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. The Lord is good. Now, what am I saying? See, we're not saying it's just simple like that, okay? But see the truth of God. Listen to this carefully. Anyone that has an inheritance that God is going to manifest through, you can't judge your life by how comfortable you are. You can't afford it. You have to thrive. That's like in the midst of failure, you have to thrive spiritually. You have to bubble. I told you the story in my life that a friend of mine told me that, Banky, you are the only jobless doctor in Nigeria. He's a comedian. My friend is a funny human being. He's very, very funny. That's how he... Once he starts talking, you start laughing. He makes a joke out of everything. He lives in the U.S. now. When we arrived, he said, Bank, I heard I didn't job just the doctor in Nigeria. And God ensured I was jobless. You know, for a long time, I gave the testimony to a particular point. Then I was preaching one day, and something came to my mind. I said, Bank, are you sure you allow that thing to play out fully? Or in your fleshly frustration, you truncated what God was doing, and he just had mercy on you? Because for months, I got to Lagos after NYSC. For certain reasons, I was thirsty. I was hungry. I was walking around town. You don't get the point. When I started residency in Lude, then one of my colleagues, he's a professor in there now, he said, you look like somebody freshly minted from a Bible school. Everything you said, I had a scripture to answer it. See, when I said everything, I meant literally everything. If you get to say there's no food there, I will tell you what happened when the disciples said there was no bread. Everything you said, I had a scripture to answer it. Now, this was what happened. I finished NYC, came to Lagos, very hungry, very thirsty for the word of God. I'll be going on the road, I'll see posters. Now, in case you do not know, I was an absolute JJC in Lagos. I never visited Lagos my whole life until I graduated from university. Until I graduated from university, I didn't visit Lagos my whole life. The first time I went to Lagos to go and do my registration at the Medical and Dental Council of Nigeria. Then everybody had to come to Lagos. Now they have centers here and there. I did that and I left. This was my, I think I came back one time, but finally after NYC. So I was a kind of JJC. I've been to Lagos before then only twice, just brief visits. First one being after I left university. So after NYC, I now came. Yet I'll be going on the road. I didn't know anywhere. I'll see a poster. Then I will stop and copy the address. Then go to my auntie's office and ask the driver, please, how do I get here? Then they give me a description. Take a bus from here. When you get here, do this, do that, do that. I will go and hear somebody preach. One day I saw one program being organized, Mary Sayulu's people. They are organized in Trem. I located Trem. I went to Trem. Sat down there. Mary Sayulu himself didn't come. His assistant came. I sat through the meeting. I will sit through. Then I saw one day. Ah, Pastor, how far did you go to Taife? Hey, I will ask direction again. All the way to after first act, satellite town. Go in the morning. Let me tell you the kind of that used to happen. You go, you have no money for break. And I stay till night. If I ever had money for anything, first, I'm not even the type that buy food outside to eat. It's biscuit and a drink. I go in the morning, they start by 9, I'm there by 9. Meeting will finish, I will sit in the hall. Because the evening meeting is 5 p.m. The official evening meeting maybe around 8 o'clock. I remember one day, no, wasn't 8 we finished. By the time we finished, I got back home 12 midnight for a JJC. My auntie was wondering, where did this boy go? Where did he go? It was to 12, it was past 11 when I entered the house. Where are you coming from? I'm coming from satellite town. The story I tell you all the time of Ron Kennelly, that was when I heard it. The people in the church, they've gone to their various homes to go and take a long afternoon break. I have nowhere to go. So I walk around the premises, find the place to sit, find the place to rise, finally sit down. The evening meeting will start. We're there together. We will sing and praise God. Then the ministers will come and preach. Get my point? If I lost that small money, na treko. That was what I did when I got to Lagos. So I now said, okay, let me get work. God blocked. I said, when God is blocking. Bam, block work. Block. I couldn't find work. One day, they said, why don't you? He said, why have you not get work? I said, I told the people that I want to work in Luz, that I'm waiting for residency. So they said, they didn't employ. So they said, tell them you are going to stay long now. I talked about defense in precepts. I told those people, I said, but that would be a lie. That was God's way of ensuring that I was where he wanted me to be. This is, I see people, my wife employs people now, they will come and swear heaven and earth, I will stay with you till we die. 6 weeks later, they are gone. They were never planning to stay. They just use it as a place. Instead of staying, I do. Let me just find something I'm doing. Which is not a problem if that's what you want to do. Just discuss. They will find something for you to do. And then just give us 2 weeks notice when you're ready to go. They say, no. Ah, as I look this establishment, my spirit said, I should stay here. Later I found out they never had any plans. Never. Just that they were so broke, they needed to get something. Unfaithfulness. But that one, I refused to do it. Don't render me, therefore, without work. But, people of God, I chop scripture. That's how I was going everywhere. Oh, this church I've been to you, I just saw more. I go see poster, Christ Chapel, I don't go there. I will sit, I remember, I went to Christ Chapel. I went to Trem. Trem was where we did the program of Maurice Cerullo. Oh, later, breakthrough seminar. Bishop Oyedepo, now with the open door now. I don't bolt, go there. Finally, when I got a job, I was working. My MD let me talk. He said, this boy, you need to see Bishop Oyedepo. I said, oh God, wait. He dragged me up. He went to Bishop, said, sir, there is one young guy that works for me. Sir, you need to talk to him. Bishop didn't even know what about. Finally, he dragged me. He fixed an appointment. Tomorrow, Susan and Sutan, you are seeing Bishop. Yes, sir. I went there. Bishop said, what is the matter, really? I didn't even know what the matter was. So he invited me for school of ministry. So I went. He said, okay, come for school of ministry. After the meeting, Susan today, you see me. I said, okay, sir. The same Bishop Edico. So I got there, finished school of ministry. Then I stood. I think it was the Holy Spirit. I stood, he was sitting in front, just the way I sit at the back here. He was sitting in his chair, service had closed, I was near the door. Talking to him was not a problem, because one of his PAs was one of our sisters on campus. All I did do was call her. Papa said, I should see him today. Please tell him I'm here. But I stood there, I looked. I still remember, I saw him sitting down, I was standing near the door, I was looking at him. Then something in me said that, what do you want to see him for? I said, really, I don't know. Is it not you want to learn and tap grace, that kind of thing? I said, yes. He says, what are you doing right now? I turned around, packed my things and left. But I never missed school of ministry. I never did. I was only sitting down. Everything he said, I soaked. I never missed school of ministry. Even one day I came, I didn't know he was not holding. It was just pastor's meeting inside. He came that day wearing a very casually dressed. I was in that meeting also. Never missed. Meet for what? I didn't know they had discontinued it. I came, but it was just pastors meeting. I joined them. No, be pastors. No, I'm telling this story. God said, you won't have a job. Do you know how many places I went to apply for work? The one that finally gave me work, That was the day I stopped. I was supposed to start work on, first was like Friday. They said start on the first. I went on Thursday to greet them. They said they've canceled their employment. I asked them why they didn't have anything to tell me. And I drove away that day because I brought my auntie's car to go there. I looked up to heaven. I said, God, you've taken the work now. Fine. That's what I told him. I said, you're the one that took this work. I wasn't angry with the man. I finally met the man once. He was on a particular, I had to go to medical and dental council investigating panel for some things. He was chairman of the panel. He came to Enugu. Went to him and said, sir, you employed me in one place one day and sacked me before I started work. I'm not even started work. Around that time, I worked in a place for 3 weeks. I got fired. Wasn't really fired. It was amicable disentanglement. So, okay. He said, I should be checking how many weeks the pregnancy is so he can terminate it. I said, oh God, person will carry oil, person will thief oil, person will help and carry, and two of them are thief. I said, I would do no such thing. He says, not telling me to terminate pregnancy, just telling me to ditch the pregnancy so he can know the appropriate bill to give them. I said, sir, it's the same thing. He said, in that case, you can't work for me. I said, no problem, sir. I'd worked 3 weeks, got fired. They gave me money. The money I told you I went to use to buy shoes. I bought 2 pair of shoes, pair of Lords and pair of St. Michael's loafers. I remember them to today. The Lords was hard brown. The other one was ox blood. I remember it today. Then I traveled, I saw one brother, his shoes were looking so ugly. I removed this I gave to him. I remember it today. After that one, I just stopped looking for work. God said, hey, that's what I was saying. Sit down and drive. And I became a driver. Literal driver. Wake up in the morning, dress up, wear my tie. Clean the car. I'm waiting. My auntie will come down. Okay, we are going to Akpongwa. Yes, ma'am. I start the car sitting at the back. I go to the drive. I'm listening to my tapes. I listen to messages. That's when I told you that in 8 months, I did Bishop Oyedepo alone. Over 500 hours. Bishop alone. I didn't count the other people. Mike Modok. I didn't count Kenny Hagin. Any other person. I didn't count. One day I laughed. My friend said, look at you laughing like Bishop Oyedepo. I didn't know. Not laughing like Bishop. Now, the part of it where I said to you that I don't wonder at the time. Because all of this happened before I met that man that took me to Bishop. I'd listened to Bishop for how many hours before I met that man. One day I went to Luth to say, how far? They said, they don't know when they are going to reopen. I said, no. I said, sir, the DA said, anybody that comes, they should let them enter his office. So I entered the DA's office. He said, months, I can't remember the exact date when he gave us the employment. Because I started the following year, January. That's when I remember. He said, well, they don't know what to do yet. We have to wait till the nurses call off their strike. So I said, okay. I go home. I said, God, please, I'm tired. I need to get a job. Next day, our brother Austin just came to my house. Banky, there's somebody looking for you. He said, no. He's in a hurry. Write his address down. And I wrote it down. He said, go there. They need a doctor. And I got there. They needed the doctor to cover nights alone. Because of this work. That's the one I looked years later. I said, wait, too. I hope I did not use my own, I'm tired, to frustrate the counsel of God at that time. But if I did, he showed mercy. He just, finally, that one, I held that job until God said, okay, enough. When I dropped my salary from 15,000 naira a month to 6,000, so I could go to church. See, if inheritance is your life, you can't measure your progress by comfort. You can't. Sometimes, in fact, it's the opposite. God will squeeze you. I mean, he wants you to birth something. He wants something to go right in your life. If you talk about life, Esau enjoyed more than Jacob. But when Jacob was done, God said, I will never wipe out your descendants. Have you ever gone somewhere and said, it's an Edomite? Those are descendants of Esau. The Edomites. God forgot them. Said to be said, these are a people against whom the Lord has indignation every day. And that's the Edomite. But the descendants of Jacob said, my mercy towards them is everlasting. Their father, Jacob, he did not enjoy a fraction of what Esau enjoyed. Did you ever hear that Esau in his days, somebody attacked him? Are you crazy? You want to attack Esau? Hey, what if we use your eye to see? Everybody left him alone. Everybody left him alone. He died in peace. He and his brother buried their father. These were not small boys. But what did he leave behind? He didn't have the inheritance. Nobody uses his name today to invoke God. Nobody did. After that, use the name of Esau to invoke God? No. But for generations, they were using the name of Jacob to invoke the Lord. He was called the God of Jacob. I've said to you, look, real people don't live for themselves. They live for their descendants. When I was much younger, people go through some hard time. I'm like, why? But now, I've told God, see, if God said, Banky, let me behead you tomorrow. So what will you want me to do for you? I just say, take care of my children. And that's all. And I really don't care about any other thing. And I understood why those men would take a beating because of their descendants. They were happy with anything. But you know, for us, they just say, what I can get in this life. That's how you know people don't have any, they don't have any substance. God will squeeze you. But that aurora of the spirit will come out. I hope I get my point. I hope I get my point. The inheritance will come out. So please, don't look at your disappointment and your troubles as if witches are after you. Which kind of witch? See everything as a call. It's a ringtone. The Lord calls you. When you go to him, say, Lord, I have trouble, but can we talk about it later? But now I have come to see you. First, what do you want to say to me? God will say, this one that's bothering you, you know it's not a problem. You're broke. Your car's been spoiling every day. You've not had money for this. Fine. But that's not what I want to say. Come. 8 years ago, you were in this meeting, you prayed. And I dropped this word in your heart. That a time will come, you'll go to this place and start doing this. Let's take ministry as an example. Say, 8 years later, what have you done? Nothing. That's why I broke the staff of bread. That's why I didn't let money flow to you. Kenegan said the particular phase of his ministry, he was so broke. Every month he was going further and further into debt. When the Lord appeared to him and showed him, he said, that phase of your ministry, you were unfaithful. The problem was not money. The problem was unfaithfulness. He said, Lord, have mercy. God said, okay, I forgive you. Now you're entering into another phase. Make sure you are faithful. Fulfill your ministry. Please, let's stop. See, the kind of car you drive, how constant your power is, does not. These things do not in any way dictate how successful your life is. You can trek into eternity, doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. Just say to God, say, God, please, whatever inheritance you planted in me, please, it must germinate. Can you bow your heads? Pray that prayer. Say, Lord, whatever inheritance, they will do. The other thing I wanted to teach, we'll leave it again till next time. Whatever inheritance you planted in me, Lord, it must germinate. Lord, I will not, I'm not complaining about hardship anymore. Thank you for the ringtone. I will hear the ringtone. Each person, just pray there. Pray there. Pray. Pray to the Lord. Say, what do you have to say to your servant? Not your son now. The sonship issue is not now. His servant. The one that has chosen to serve you. Who you have called and who has answered. Please take another moment and say, Lord, bless my children. Keep them. Bless my children. Lord, I ask of you. For me, I have two sets of children. I've told you many times. Say, Lord, bless my children. Let them never be stranded. Pray that prayer for your children. Say, Lord, may my children never be stranded. Let them know you. Let them serve you. Say, Lord, bless my children. Bless my children, Lord, I ask of you. Keep them. Pour your inheritance into each one of them. Lord, drag them by both ears into your face. They must hear you. Shebi, I'm their father, I'm their mother. Even if the other partner, the other spouse is unbelieving, Paul said they are sanctified by my prayer. What about when both of you are praying for them this morning? So that these children, I want you in your mind, even if you don't have them yet, drag them by both ears. Put your nose against their nose. Your eyes in their eyes. Say, you will serve the Lord. You will know the Lord. You will know the Lord. The inheritance of God that will be amplified in you, because there are generational transfers. There are things that one generation cannot complete. The next must bring it to life. Say, this inheritance will not die with you. It won't die. It will not die. It will be amplified in your life. It just dropped in my mind. Whether you have children now or not, I want to cause any genetic abnormality, because that's what Satan does. Uses genes to prevent, because God, no, gave us a Christ Jesus that had no problems in his genes. Now, speak to these children. Say, whatever be the genetic abnormality that may want to be in you, I cast it now in the name of Jesus. I command the healing power of God to rectify every problem in your life. Now, even if you don't have those children yet, and if you do, pick them one by one in your mind now. Now, you are holding them by 2 ears. You've dragged them into your face. Your nose is against their nose. Your eyes looking into their eyes, and you are speaking. Say, I command it to be whole, so that the inheritance of God will be birthed through you. People of God, please listen. You need to hear this. Your children don't need comfort. They need Christ. They don't need comfort. They need the life of God and the purpose of God working in them. I think one of the major problems God has had is people who love the Lord, but who don't command their children in the way of the Lord. They make it appear to them that certain things are more important than the way of the Lord. In doing righteousness and justice, you spend money, and you don't invest the same money in bringing Christ into light in their faces. You take them on holiday, you don't take them for camping. Ah, Billy Akoni is doing programming in Boko all the time. You have not gone to camp with them there. You are carrying them on holiday to Europe. And you say they don't serve God. If it was you, you would show them what is more important now. You went to church and prayed morning till night, but they can be sleeping at home. You show them that it's not important that they serve the Lord. And God said, that's the problem. That's why many Timothys are not born. The faith in their grandmother Lois, their mother Eunice, is not manifested because they don't commit these boys, these girls, into the hands of the Lord. Pray this morning, say, Lord, my children will serve you.